The sermon text this morning from 1 Peter, the second chapter. Die to sin and live for righteousness. Thus far the words of our text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't think my microphone's on. I don't know if my battery's just died. I may have to use my teacher voice. We'll see here. Oh. Hey, there it goes. All right. I may have hit the power button and put it on mute. I don't know. Well, today in our text, St. Peter is exhorting Christians of every time and place to live out their faith, to put faith into practice. For faith in the God of the Bible is not just what we confess with our mouth, but it is what we confess by our actions. We are to act out our faith in our lives. We are to be people who inhabit our communities that we live in, and yet at the same time, we are to be a people who is set apart. Of course, the problem is that we are steeping in our culture around us. And often we do not realize that we have become flavored by the culture that surrounds us. And we don't notice that we will wear a cap or a lid over our Christianity. So we have to think about it. It's not that we try and do that, right? It's not that we try and get influenced by the culture around us, but rather it just happens. It happens in such a way that we have to try and not be influenced by our culture that surrounds us. So what Peter presents us with is important for us to living out our faith in our current setting in life. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter starts with being born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, therefore, prepare your minds for action. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of this world. Be holy in all your conduct. You see, since we are citizens of heaven, we are to conduct ourselves with fear. When I say fear, I mean fear in both ways. First of all, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And fear also in the sense of having a healthy respect for what God says and what God does. We conduct ourselves with fear during our time of exile here on the earth. Chapter 2 of 1 Peter begins with examples. Put away. You got a bed full of clothes that just come out the dryer. Laundry baskets dumped on there. It's a mess. They're clean, but it's still a mess. And you have to put away your clothes. Okay. So Peter says, put away, now make a conscious effort, fold it up, pull the drawer out, put it in the drawer, shut the drawer, think about it, do it. It's work, it's labor, but do it. Put away all malice, all deceit, envy, and slander. Peter urges us, he says, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Now that's no small thing, waging war. So abstain from the passions of your flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. He goes on to say, be subject to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. Remember, the Christians are being persecuted, even as Peter writes this. And he still says, be subject to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For it is the will of God that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, and do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but live as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Now I'm thinking of our earthly conduct. Because this past week we had district pastors conference. We had, a couple presenters presenting things to us. One of the presenters was talking about a group of church fathers called the Desert Fathers. And, what they would do is they'd go out into the desert and live in the desert as hermits. And they would study the scriptures and they would meditate on life. And people would come to them for wisdom and whatnot. And they were presenting, and one of the speakers said, one of these men had made the comment concerning Christians. This was a comment about Christians in Roman times. He said, they share their meals, but not their wives. Well, that's an odd comment. But apparently, in the Roman Empire, at certain times in those days, it was very common for people to behave like what we would call swingers. And they would share their spouses with other people. And it was written of the Christians, they'll share their meal with you, but they won't do this other stuff. And I thought about that, how we live our lives out in this world and what that looks like. And that sentence was stuck with me. I said, I'm going to look that up. So I go to the computer in the office, and it is called the Epistle to Diognetus. That's where that sentence came from, the Epistle to Diognetus. And it was written about 60 years after the fall of Jerusalem. Jerusalem fell to the Romans and was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. So you're looking at something written about the year 130. And what I have here is a section of the letter titled, The Christian in the World, as it is written in its original language. It almost comes across something like bullet points. So what I'm going to present to you or read to you this morning will sound a bit choppy, but I'm doing that on purpose in how it seems to be delivered in this letter. The author of the letter to Diognetus says, For the Christians are distinguished from other men, neither by country, nor by language, nor by the customs that they observe. For they neither inhabit cities of their own, nor employ a particular form of speech, nor lead a life that is marked out by any singularity. The course of conduct which they follow has not been devised by any speculation or deliberation of inquisitive men, nor do they, like some, proclaim themselves the advocates of any merely human doctrine. But inhabiting Greek as well as barbarian cities, as the lot of each of them has been determined, and following the customs of the natives in respect to clothing and food and the rest of their ordinary conduct, they display to us the wonderful and confessedly striking mode of life. So, you grow up in India, you're going to dress like somebody who grows up in India. That's a Christian. You grow up in the United States, you're going to dress like somebody from the United States. When you grow up in another country, you're going to speak that language. A Christian will speak that language. They are citizens of the countries in which they inhabit. Okay, so the author goes on. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as those who are passing through. As citizens, they share all things with others, and yet they endure all things as if foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as is their native country, and every land of their birth they treat as a land of strangers. They marry as do all others. They beget children, but they do not destroy their offspring. They share their meals, but not their wives. They are in the flesh, but they are not governed by the desires of the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws, and at the same time, they surpass these laws by their lives. They love all men, and yet are persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned because they are not understood. They are put to death and restored to life. They are poor, and yet they make many rich. They are in lack of all things, and yet they abound in all. They are dishonored, and yet in their very dishonor they are glorified. A blessing is their answer to abuse. They are evil spoken of, and yet they are justified. They are reviled, and they bless. They are insulted, and they repay the insult with honor. They do good, and yet are punished as evildoers. When punished, they rejoice as if quickened into life. They are assailed by Jews as foreigners, and they are persecuted by the Greeks. Yet those who hate them are unable to assign any reason for their hatred. I ask you to think about those things. So what then is the relation of the Christian to the world? To sum it all up in one word, what the soul is in the body, Christians are in the world. The soul is dispersed through all the members of the body, and Christians are scattered through all the cities of the world. The soul dwells in the body, and yet it is not of the body. And Christians dwell in the world, yet are not of the world. The invisible soul is guarded by the visible body. And Christians are known indeed to be in the world, but their godliness remains invisible. The flesh hates the soul and wars against it. Though itself suffering no injury, because it is prevented from enjoying pleasures. The world also hates the Christians, though the Christian is in no wise injured, because they renounce the pleasures. The soul loves the flesh that hates it, and loves also the fellow brethren that are compromised the body of Christ. Christians likewise love those who hate them. The soul is imprisoned in the body, yet keeps together that very body. And Christians are confined in the world as a prison, and yet they keep the world together. The immortal soul dwells in an immortal tabernacle, and Christians dwell as sojourners in corruptible bodies, looking for an incorruptible dwelling in the heavens. The soul, when ill provided with food and drink, becomes better. And in like manner, the Christian, though subject day by day to punishment, increases more in number. God has assigned to them an illustrious position, which it were unlawful for them to forsake. The world has changed very little. We in our days face the same things that the early Christians faced. The same issues. We cringe at the thought that the Romans left unwanted children to die of exposure on the sides of hills and mountains. Yet as of 2025, Planned Parenthood has reported that they performed 434,450 abortions. That is 434,450 babies that were aborted. And that number does not include or account those who took the over-the-counter abortion pills that are available in stores. We hold contrary to our culture that marriage is between one man and one woman. That's all. For life. We are to stand with God on issues of morality, and yet we do not hate those who disagree with us. We proclaim Christ as the only way to eternal life. And often we are at odds with the dictates of our governing authorities, yet we still honor and respect their office. Then through faith in Christ and for the redemption of our souls, let us live in this world. And let us not be afraid of this world. Since we are surrounded by the culture, since we are surrounded by unbelievers, let us live in this world not as the unwise, but as wise, looking forward to the better homeland that is to come with the return of Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to make a conscious effort to live as Christians in this world. To know what Christian doctrine is, to know what it is to believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. And we pray that God's Holy Spirit would strengthen us to do such things, to live out our faith in this life, to receive praise where praise is due, but also to receive punishment and persecution when the world hates us. And as we do this, we know that we are but aliens and strangers here on this earth, waiting for the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come with glory in the clouds and take us to be with him for all eternity. In that Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.